Welcome to Golden Gems with Dave Shaw and Bill Hansen. We review each week the career and personal life of one of the great unforgettable artists of the golden days of radio. So please join us on a trip down memory lane as we take a look at today's artist. Then go to our website, www.goldengems.net, where we also look at more of their career and play some of their most unforgettable great hits, which we are unable to share on the podcast. We invite you to join us there also. But for now, sit back and relax as we talk about the life of today's unforgettable artist of the golden days of radio.
Welcome to Golden Gems. Dave and Bill here as we review this week the magnificent yet tragic life of Mario Lanza. Born Alfredo Arnold Cocosa in Philadelphia on January 31, 1921, Mario Lanza was exposed to classical singing at an early age by his Abruzzese Molossian Italian parents. His mother, Maria Lanza, was from Tocco di Casoria, a town in the province of Percasa in the region of Abruzzo. His father, Antonio Cocosa, was from Filignano, a town in the province of Isernia in the region of Molise. By age 16, his vocal talent had become apparent, starting out in local operatic productions in Philadelphia for the YMCA Opera Company while still in his teens. He later came to the attention of longtime principal Boston Symphony conductor Sergei Kosovitsky. In 1942, Kosovitsky provided young Cocosa with a full student scholarship to the Berkshire Music Center at Tanglewood, Massachusetts. Reportedly, Kosovitsky later told him, "Yours is a voice such as heard once in 100 years. He made his opera debut in Fenton in Otto Nicolte's The Merry Wives of Windsor at the Berkshire Musical Festival in Tanglewood on August 7, 1942, after a period of study with conductors Boris Goldovsky and Leonard Bernstein. This is when Cocosa adopted the stage name of Mario Lanza for its similarity to his mother's maiden name, Maria Lanza.
His performances at Tanglewood won him critical acclaim, with Noel Strauss of the New York Times hailing the 21-year-old tenor as having few equals among tenors of the day in terms of quality, warmth, and power. Herbert Graff subsequently wrote in Opera News on October 5, 1942, "A real find of the season was Mario Lanza. He would have no difficulty one day being asked to join the Metropolitan Opera." Lanza sang Nicolai's Fenton twice at Tanglewood in addition to appearing there in a one-off presentation of Puccini's La Boheme with the noted Mexican soprano Irma Gonzalez, baritone James Pease, and mezzo-soprano Laura Castellano. Music critic J.C. Rosenfeld wrote in the New York Times on August 9, 1942, "Irma Gonzalez as Mimi and Mario Lanza as Rodolfo were conspicuous by the beauty of their voices and the vividness of their characterizations." In an interview shortly before her own death in 2008, Gonzalez recalled that Lanza was very correct, likable, with a powerful and beautiful voice. His budding operatic career was interrupted in World War II when he was assigned to special services in the U.S. Army Air Corps. He appeared in the wartime shows On the Beam and Wing Victory. He resumed his singing career with a concert in Atlantic City, New Jersey, with the NBC Symphony Orchestra in September 1945 under Peter Herman Adler, subsequently his mentor. The following month, he replaced tenor John Pierce on the live CBS radio program Great Moments in Music, on which he made 6 appearances in 4 months, singing extracts from various operas and other works. He studied with Enrico Rossati for 15 months and then embarked on an 86-concert tour of the United States, Canada, and Mexico, between July 1947 and May 1948, with bass George London and soprano Frances Yende. Reviewing his second appearance at Chicago's Grant Park in July 1947 in the Chicago Sunday Tribune, Claudia Cassidy phrased Lonza's superbly natural tenor.
In April 1948, Lonza sang two performances at Pinkerton's in Puccini's Madame Butterfly for the New Orleans Opera Association, conducted by Walter Herbert, with stage director Armando Agnini. Reviewing the opening night performance in the St. Louis News, Lawrence Oden wrote, "Mario Lanza performed Lieutenant Pinkerton with considerable verve and dash. Rarely have we seen a more superbly romantic leading tenor. His exceptionally beautiful voice helps immeasurably." At the time of his death, Lanza was preparing to return to the operatic stage. Conductor Peter Herman Adler, with whom Lanza previously had worked both in concert and on the soundtracks of The Great Caruso, visited the tenor in Rome during the summer of 1959 and later recalled that Lanza was working 2 hours a day with an operatic coach and intended to go back to opera, his only true love. Adler promised the tenor all possible help in his planning for his operatic future. In the October 14, 1959 edition of Variety, it was reported that Lanza had planned to make his return to opera in the role of Catino in Leoncavallo's Pagliacci during the Rome Opera 1960 and 1961 season.
Little bit about his film career. A concert at the Hollywood Bowl in August 1947 had brought Lanza to the attention of Louis B. Mayer, who promptly signed Lanza to a 7-year film contract with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. The contract required him to commit to the studio for 6 months of the year, and Lanza initially believed he would be able to combine his film career with his operatic and concert appearances. In May 1949, he made his first commercial recordings for RCA Victor. Lanza's recording of the aria Che Gallida Manina from La Boheme from that first session was subsequently awarded the Prize of Operatic Recording of the Year by the United States National Record Critics Association. Lanza's first two starring films, That Midnight Kiss and The Toast of New Orleans, both opposite top billed Catherine Grayson, were commercial successes, and in 1950, his recording of Be My Love from the latter became the first of 3 million selling singles for the young singer, earning him enormous fame in the process. While at MGM, Lanza worked closely with Academy Award-winning conductor, composer, and arranger Johnny Green.
In a 1977 interview with Lanza biographer Armando Cesari, Green recalled that the tenor was insecure about the manner in which he had become successful and was keenly aware of the fact that he had become a Hollywood star before first having established himself on the operatic stage. In 1951, Lanza portrayed Enrico Caruso in The Great Caruso, which was MGM's biggest success of the year. At the same time, Lanza's increasing popularity exposed him to intense criticism by some music critics, including those that had praised his works years earlier. His performance earned him compliments from the subject's son, Enrico Caruso Jr., a tenor in his own right. Shortly before his own death in 1987, Enrico Jr. wrote in Enrico Caruso, My Father and My Family, posthumously published in 1990, that I can think of no other tenor, before or since Mario Lanza, who could have risen with comparable success to the challenge of playing Great Caruso in the screen biography. In 1952, Lanza was suspended and ultimately dismissed by MGM after he had recorded the song for his next film, The Student Prince, in 1954. The reason most frequently cited in the tabloid press at that time was that his recurring weight problem had made it impossible for him to fit into the costumes of the prince.
However, as his biographers Cesari and Mannarin had established, Lanza was not overweight at the beginning of the production, and it was in fact a disagreement with director Curtis Bernhardt over Lanza's performance of one of the songs in the film that led to Lanza walking off the set. Depressed by his dismissal and with his self-confidence severely undermined, Lanza became a virtual recluse for more than a year, frequently seeking refuge in alcoholic binges. During this period, Lanza also came very close to bankruptcy as a result of poor investment decisions by his former manager, and his lavish spending habits left him owing about $250,000 in back taxes to the IRS. Lanza returned to an active film career in 1955 in Serenade, released by Warner Brothers. However, the film was not as successful as his previous films. Despite its strong musical content, Madame Albanese said of Lanza in 1980, "I had heard all sorts of stories about Mario Lanza, that his voice was too small for the stage, that he couldn't learn a score, that he couldn't sustain a full opera, in fact, that he couldn't even sing a full aria, that his recordings were made by splicing together various portions of the aria. None of it is true. He had the most beautiful voice. It was a gorgeous, beautiful, powerful voice. I should know because I sang with so many tenors. He had everything that one needs."
Lanza moved to Rome, Italy, in May of 1957, where he worked on the film Seven Hills of Rome, and returned to performing live in November of that year, singing for Queen Elizabeth II at the Royal Variety Show at the London Palladium. From January to April 1958, Lanza gave a concert tour for the UK, Belgium, the Netherlands, France, and Germany. He gave a total of 22 concerts on this tour, receiving mostly popular reviews for his singing. Despite a number of cancellations, which resulted from his poor health during the period, Lanza continued to receive offers for operatic appearances, concerts, and films. In September 1958, he made a number of operatic recordings at the Rome Opera House for the soundtrack of what would turn out to be his final film, For the First Time. It was then that he came to the attention of the Opera House artistic director, Riccardo Vitale, who promptly offered the tenor carte blanche in his choice of operatic roles. At the same time, however, his health continued to decline, with the tenor suffering from a variety of ailments, including phlebitis and acute high blood pressure. His old habits of overeating and crash dieting, coupled with binge drinking, compounded his problems. In April 1959, Lanza reportedly fell ill, mainly with heart problems, as well as pneumonia. On September 25th, 1959, he entered Rome's Valle Guela Clinic for the purpose of losing weight for an upcoming film. While in the clinic, he underwent a controversial weight loss program, colloquially known as the Twilight Sleep Treatment, which required its patients to be kept immobile and sedated for long periods. On October 7th, Lanza died of an apparent pulmonary embolism at age 38. No autopsy was performed. He was survived by his wife and four children. Betty Hicks Lanza returned to Hollywood completely devastated. She died 5 months later of a drug overdose.
A little bit about his musical legacy. Lanza was the first RCA Victor Red Seal artist to win a gold disc and the first artist to sell 2.5 million albums. He was referred to by some sources as the new Caruso after his instant success in Hollywood films, while MGM hoped he would become the movie studio singing Clark Gable for his good looks and powerful voice. I don't think Clark sings very well. He was a big inspiration to fellow RCA Victor recording star Elvis Presley. A year later, after Lanza's death, Presley recorded an English translation of O Solo Mio, which was popularized by Lanza. Because he appeared on the operatic stage only twice, many critics felt that he needed to have more operatic quality time in major theaters before he could be considered an opera star. His films, especially The Great Caruso, influenced numerous future opera stars, including Joseph Caligia, José Carreras, Placido Domingo, Luciano Pavarotti, and Vyacheslav Polozov. According to opera historian Clyde McCants, of all the Hollywood singers who performed operatic music, the one who made the greatest impact was Mario Lanza. Hollywood gossip columnist Hedda Hopper concluded there had never been anyone like Mario, and I doubt whether we shall ever see his like again. Mario Lanza married Elizabeth Jeanette Hicks on April 12, 1945, and they were married until his death on October 7, 1959. They had four children. A little bit about the monuments and honors for Mario. Mario Lanza Boulevard is a roadway in the Eastwick section of Lanza's native Philadelphia, close to Philadelphia International Airport, and ending on the grounds of the John Hines National Wildlife Refuge. The Mario Lanza Institute and Museum, which honors Lanza's legacy and also provides scholarships to young singers, is located at 712 Montrose Street in South Philadelphia. Philadelphia's Queen Street Park was renamed for Lanza in 1967. In 1998, a Golden Palm Star on the Palm Springs, California Walk of Stars was dedicated to him. Lanza has been awarded two stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, a star for recording at 1751 Vine Street, and a star at 6821 Hollywood Boulevard for motion pictures. Thanks for being with us today as we reviewed the life of one of the greatest tenors of any generation. If you've not done so please listen to and enjoy his great music on our webcast, www.goldengems.net.
Thanks for being with us today. We hope you're having as much enjoyment as we are, reliving some of the unforgettable memories of the golden days of radio. To learn more about the career of today's artists and listen to several of their greatest hits, we invite you to go to our website, www.goldengems.net. May we also encourage you to tell your friends about the show. We'd love to have them join us in these little trips down memory lane. And as always, we invite your feedback or comments on goldengemsradio@gmail.com. So until next episode, this is Dave and Bill, heading back into the archives to dust off some more unforgettable memories to share with you on Golden Gems.